So I'll read the translation in the purport first. Please also describe the imperfections and the contradictions of the faceless atheist, the situation of crossbreeding and the movements of the living entities in various species of life according to their particular modes of nature and work. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The combination of living entities in different modes of material nature is called crossbreeding. The faithless atheists do not believe in the existence of God, and thus their path of philosophy are contradictory. Atheistic philosophers never agree with one another. Different species of life are evidence of varieties of mixture of the modes of material nature. It's a pretty short purport. So we'll begin with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskrityam. Namaskrityam Narancheva Narottama Cheva Narottama Devin Sarasati Vyasan Sarasati Vyasan Tata Jayamudirahe Nashta Prayeshu Abhidveshu Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtike Om Jnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Mitam Yena Tasmaye Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bayo Vaishnave Bayo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Dishatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pashandapatha Vaishyamyam Pratiloma Niveshanam Jivasya Gata Yayasya Yavati Guna Karma Karmaja. So this is today's verse. Before I begin, I'd just like to seek the blessings of all the devotees here and online and everywhere. I seek your blessings that I can say something relevant to today's verse, and also for my own purification, because believe me, there's no one here that needs more purification than myself. I had to bring support with me, my wife and son, because they always say that I'm grateful, but they say I'm the greatest fool. So you'll realize why I'm the greatest fool as I try and unravel this purport here today and what Prabhupada's speaking about. Just read this all over again once more. Please also describe the imperfections and the contradictions of the faithless atheist. The situation of crossbreeding and the movements of the living entities in various species of life according to their particular modes of nature and work. So we learnt yesterday from Damodar Prabhu and the day before from Prabhuji there on Tuesday. Prabhuji spoke about Rantidev, and Damodar Prabhu spoke about how we need to seek blessings, and then gives the explanation of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Padyumna, Aniruddha. These are different besides the expansions of Krishna, how we should seek different blessings from different incarnations of the Lord. But this particular purport is relatively short. Burijan Prabhu mentions in his book Unveiling of His Lotus Feet, which is a study guide, the summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam, mentions here that Vidura is asking something in the order of 40 questions in this section. From about verse 23 to 38, there are lots of questions being put forward, and it shows that Vidura is eager to learn the same time to ask many questions. He has to be fairly philosophical and come up with questions like that. Asking this question is very interesting question. They really help us to understand why we're here in this world. Questions like about the one ashram system, which Prabhuji spoke about slightly the other day. How the demigods are generated. What's the relationship of the Supreme Lord and the individual soul? How are they different? The nature of the journey of the living entity through various species. We're hearing about today's verse, the planetary system, and what are the sizes and dimensions, what are their movements. So some of the things asked here is a question how the living entities are encased in different kinds of species, types, bodies, and how they get there and what will happen to them next. So this whole section will be explained later. But here in the purport today, Prabhupada is speaking about the combination of living entities in different modes of material nature is called crossbreeding. First, when I read the word crossbreeding, I didn't really quite understand, but this makes it clear here what Prabhupada is speaking about. This particular part of the crossbreeding bit is not what we understand it to be. It is between different ashrams. This is explained in many of the other scriptures that what actually happens when there's a crossover like this. I come from, originally I was born in Africa, then brought up in India. And I was very young when I was there, but I can remember that each caste was particularly married into their own caste. Because the reason being for understanding all these things is that you know the history of the family. Whether the family comes from a family that has mental disabilities or other problems in life. And chances are that sometimes this crossbreeding can lead to these things. So this caste system is not so great when we speak about in the Indian system in the general terms. But the caste system is there, as everyone has already mentioned, Chatur Varna Maya system, Guna Karma Vibhagasha. These four systems are there, but This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita why it's there. But to be, generally you were called an outcast if you marry into a different caste. This is the historical facts of India and the culture. Anyone who comes from India will understand why and what the purpose of all this is. But for devotees, it's a different scenario. Here, as a person creates various kinds of actions because of his material desires in this life, so at the end of life, one gets a review of all the composites of all the things. We've done both pious and impious. There is a judgment, and usually most people fail the test. Generally, they are demoted to animal species or lower, sometimes even plant species or microbe species, depending on how seriously you messed up in this life. This is done by Yamaraj, because we are adrift or floating in the material modes of nature. Sometimes one of the modes pushes us more than the other. We don't know how to handle the winds. We get buffeted around them, and whatever directions they push us is the direction we wind up going. So this is why people are generally do not become perfected. The whole purpose of the human form of life is to become perfect. Atatha Brahma Jigyasa. To actually question who I am, where I come from, and what is my destination. But here Prabhupada mentions that, these modes of material nature will lead us. Atheistic philosophers never agree with one another. Just in the beginning, the combination of living entities in different modes of material nature is called crossbreeding. So this modes of material nature, what are these modes of material nature? Sattva, Rajo, and Tamo. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. And these modes are explained in the Bhagavad Gita. They're always crossing over each other. Until we're actually 100% devoted, and our life is based, and our teachings, our culture is of that nature that we can remember Krishna. To come to the mode of, the minimum requirement is at least one needs to come to the mode of goodness in order to pursue the spiritual life or any form of decent life. But the realm of the material nature is that, and especially it is explained that actually everyone in this age is Shudra already anyway. Even though the four castes, the four Vanashrams are there, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, but this is there for those who actually want to understand the spiritual life. But in general nature, everyone is considered a Shudra, because our nature is like that, because we're constantly bombarded by the three modes of material nature in everything that we do, and in every action that we perform, these modes are interacting. That when we speak to somebody, we can very easily, from talking very politely to get into a mode of passion, that this is what I'm trying to portray, this is what I'm trying to explain to you. Can you not understand? So this, for me, happens all the time. My patience, I'm not in the mode of goodness. My patience is very little. But we can see that all these qualities are not helpful in our spiritual life. They're not helpful because it doesn't give us the clarity of the thought in the way we need to think. In order to speak about spiritual life, one has to be calm. One has to become introspective. One has to look within. And to look within, unless one is calm and collective in the mode of goodness, it becomes extremely difficult. We see devotees come and go. Because when they come, they're very inquisitive because they're inquisitive because they've desired a new taste. This new taste is actually freebie that's given by Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To entice somebody, it's like when you go to a supermarket, they give out freebies, especially for those of you who go to Costco. You will see they have many stands. They're giving out cheese, they're giving out drinks, they're giving out all sorts of things to entice that just try it and see what it's like. And then what happens is that by that taste, we think, oh yeah, actually it is quite nice. So Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada gives us this free taster that we become enthusiastic. When we are new in our Krishna consciousness, we're very much enthusiastic about Mangalatis, coming for morning program. Prabhu, Deepak Prabhu, who's been around for a long, long time, and a very good example, you can see that he's still here every morning. Because he's acquired this taste and the association of the devotees. Without the association of the devotees, the three modes of material, even when we are on our real Krishna consciousness, is tested when we're actually really alone. Within the association, within the assembly of devotees, our behavior, our character, are all fairly decent because we see people. We're physically seeing people, but when we're alone, our mind wanders and does all sorts of things, because there's no presence, although we feel that there is no presence. But the presence of the Paramatma is there, is witnessing, is seeing. That's why here it's mentioned that most people actually fail the test at the end, when it's time to leave the body, because whatever thoughts, whatever actions we've performed throughout our lives, and what's most ingrained in our brain, in our head, there are certain things that actually just ingrains in our mind. And certain things, doesn't matter how many times we try, it just doesn't go in. If you're like me, trying to learn the shlokas, I can try for a week, can try for 2 weeks. That's how long it'll take me to memorize it. Because it's just not in me to remember things that are so valuable. So when we're alone, that's really the time to test our Krishna consciousness, at what level actually we are at. Because with the association, Prabhupada's made this whole arrangement for fallen souls like us, that we can actually transcend, we can move from this mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness. Because Prabhupada has gone through this whole cycle of creating the morning program to actually structure how our thoughts are for the whole day. Beginning from Mangalati, Tulsi Puja, Narsingha prayers, Japa time. So it actually helps us to ingrain in us that if you've actually spent some time in the ashram, it really is the only way that you can really imbibe all these qualities. I've been coming to the manor for nearly 40 years now. When I originally started coming, The reason I got involved is due to His Grace Shutidharma Prabhu. I was running a printing business, and the manor was going through some real turbulent times of the campaign. The villagers wanted to close the temple down. So somehow or the other, I just happened to be in the printing business, and His Shutidharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu just happened to see me come to the manor now and then, and kind of said, you know, we could use someone like this person. Because, you know, the manor is not what it is now 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And it has gone through a lot of hardships to get where it is. Those who just come now, we only see the actual fruits, the ripened fruits. Eh? Prior to in the early 70s, devotees were struggling. Devotees were struggling to pay the bills. Eh? 80s, it was a very similar scenario. Eh? So we have to understand that someone has done the real hard work for us to actually to see the fruit that's here in front of us. Eh? But our nature is such that sometimes we're only interested in what we are interested in. Eh? We all have certain goals. Eh? We all have certain agendas. We have a certain way of thinking. Eh? But really, to become Krishna conscious means to see, you know, what the need of the society is, what the move of the movement, not our just single individual ones. Eh? That's also required in order to be actually, you know, nurtured and to be brought up in a standing that, you know, that we can still be here despite all the struggles life actually throws at us. Eh? Certain struggles we may not understand because we haven't reached that stage. It's just like, you know, when you get into your 50s and 60s and 70s, eh? Your struggles of life are very different to someone who is in their teenagers. Eh? We cannot appreciate, a teenager generally cannot appreciate what it's like to do certain things. You know, something has to be repeated 3, 4 times, 5 times before it's actually understood. Because, you know, as you grow older, everything kind of slows down. But there are devotees. We have a devotee amongst ourselves, you know, Prayojan Prabhu. Very active, extremely active, you can see. But problem of our lives is that we remorse, that when we actually have something valuable, it's like myself, you know, I very honestly regret that the association that I had of Shutidharma Prabhu was so close, but yet somehow or the other, you know, I took it for granted. When we have something, our tendency is to take it for granted because we feel that it will be there, it is there today, it will be there tomorrow, it will be there thereafter. But we don't really realize that what's going to happen tomorrow. It's very difficult unless you're put into a certain circumstances to understand what it means to be put in that situation. You know? For a new bhakta, you know, to fast for half a day or for the full day is quite a tall order, right? When you're new, you know, you haven't heard about fasting, you just heard the holy name, and somehow, you know, there's an interest developed that, oh, let me just check out, you know, what they do in the ashram, or let me just, you know, try out the bhakta course. Yeah? And then you realize that actually fasting half a day, fasting a full day, is quite a task. But like everything else, practice makes perfect. Yeah? If we start practicing these things, then it becomes easy, then it becomes... So in the same way, this remorseness and all the rest of it, that unless we take advantage of the situation that is here now, we will always regret. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Man Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gonitai Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because, you know, I think Keshav Maharaj makes a quote that, you know, a life of discipline is extremely difficult, very hard. There'll be probably many mistakes on the way. But to discipline yourself when you live outside becomes a lot more difficult than when you're within the ashram, because, you know, the environment is such that you, so if you're not up, somebody will come and wake you up. But life of regret is unforgivable. That if we regret, like I regret, I had association of Shuddhi Dharma Prabhu, Pranamanda Prabhu, Harivamsa, probably a lot of most people in this room may not know him. A wonderful, wonderful devotee. His life was, even though he's a grihastha living outside, set such an example, very exemplary devotee. How to dedicate one's life, business, to Krishna consciousness. But time is of such nature that we cannot buy back even a fraction of a second. Chanakya Pandit mentions that we can gather all the wealth of this world. All the wealth of this world, but we can't buy back a second. Prabhupada speaks about atheism in this purport. Now, I just did some research, and this is something that I found. You know, Albania is one of the first countries. In 1967, religious practices were officially banned in Albania, making the country the first only constitutionally atheist state ever existed. So Prabhupada talks about the atheist here, that, you know, if there's no God in the center of your life, what is everything evolved around? Anyone? Yourself. Me. In the case of Albania, you know, it's the country, the nation. We can see that there are other countries which are full of atheism. China, Korea, Vietnam. They're all suppressed because if they're not suppressed and they go into, you know, they believe in God, then they'll start asking questions. Why should they follow what the state is saying? You know, I mean, just imagine for a nation to ban religion, what kind of nation it must be. The devotees have gone through a lot of hard time in Russia, many other countries, even in China. But we can see once this message actually goes out there, we can see in Mayapur there's a whole quarters for Russian devotees. There's so many devotees from China now visiting Mayapur because they've realized what they've been taught is complete atheism, where God doesn't exist. If God doesn't exist, what is the purpose of your life? Why are you there? Just working like cats and dogs. But Prabhupada is so kind. Prabhupada is so kind that in spite of all the shortcomings we have, he still gives us the opportunity. He's still giving us the opportunity to take up this Cheto Darpana Marjanam Mahab, that this chanting of the holy name. which is the cleansing process. Because where does all this, you know, atheism, everything begins from where? From the heart. All the dirt is actually residing within our own heart. The only way we can get rid of this is by cleaning it. And that cleansing process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This cleansing process is very simple, it's very sublime. It's not restricted to any caste, creed, young, old, gender, nothing. This is for everyone. But we can see when atheism and everything builds in, this is what happens. And then Prabhupada speaks about different, like the mundane philosophers. There are so many of them. Now each philosopher will say one thing, will contradict the previous philosopher in order to become recognized. Otherwise, it doesn't become recognized. Doesn't matter how what he's saying, the moment he contradicts the previous philosopher, everyone takes interest. What has he got to say? What's so different about him? But it's the nature of this atheistic philosopher. All of this is very nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, 15 text, chapter 7, where those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, who partakes of the ascetic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. There's a whole purport within this. The time is quite short, so I won't go through the whole purport. But Prabhupada makes certain points. The next class of duskriti are called Maya Prada Jnana, those persons who ereditate knowledge has been nullified by the influence of illusory material energy. They are mostly very learned fellows, Prabhupada writes within the purport. Great philosophers, poets, literates, scientists, etc. But by the illusory energy, misguided them. And therefore, they disobey the Supreme Lord. This is the whole point that, you know, this material philosophy, atheism, really, end of the day, it gets you nowhere. The only thing it gets you back to, as explained here, it is back to the lower species of life. Once we go glide down to the lower species of life, then we have to go through the whole cycle all over again to come to the human platform of life. And if after all this we've come to the human platform of life and we misuse it, what is the value of the human form of life? Because it'll just degrade us. Degrade us because this opportunity is given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who at the very advanced age of 69 crossed over the Atlantic Ocean with two heart attacks to give this message, to show His causeless compassionate mercy on the living entities, to carry out the order of His spiritual master, that take this message to the Western world. So we're so fortunate, but because the three modes of material nature are interacting upon us every moment of the day, we very easily forget, you know, what Prabhupada has given us. And thus I said, you know, we're only ripening the fruits of the hard work of all the other devotees have incumbent in making what this is so readily available to us. But still, our mind is of such nature, we can still find faults. There are four defects in us. Tendency to commit mistakes. Tendency to be illusioned. Tendency to cheat others. We can see how the nations, the countries are cheating. It's not just individual, we can see it's on a very high level. Our senses are imperfect. Prabhupada gives an example that, you know, that actually how imperfect our senses are, that we see with our eyes, but we can't see our eyelid. But yet, we want to see God. I'll only believe in God if I can see Him in front of me. Such is our nature. But the only way to actually come out of all of this is actually to surrender to the Guru and the Parampara and the disciplic succession. This is the only way. The only way is the association. Association, association, association. Because that's the characteristics that we will develop. So I'll end there. Any questions, comments, corrections? Prayajan Prabhu, is there a mic?
I've come here, you talk about the modes of material nature, it's chapter 14, and certainly Arjuna in 14:21 he says, oh my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to the three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of material nature? The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, this is in 14:22-25, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear. We were talking about regrets, weren't we? Who is unwavering and disturbed in all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral, transcendental, knowing the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, a piece of gold, with an equal eye. That's interesting. That is a stone. The deities are made of stone. But we've got a different vision. They're representative of the Lord. They're made from a historic image that we have been passed down to us. So who is equal and desirable to the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally, well, in praise and blame, honour and dishonour, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who is renounced all the activities, such a person is said to transcend the modes of material nature. So that's Bhagavad Gita. It's my old favourite. It's the first literature I ever got from Prabhupada.
Yes, definitely answer to everything. Jai. Shri Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, all the devotees, one chakal, patarubhyascha, kripasana.